Skin by Nigel Holloway. London, 1766.
Damned weather.
Oi.
Who, madam?
Undertakers.
The doctor, sir.
It is the doctor, madam. We sent for him.
Undertakers, come to measure.
The doctor, my lady.
Measure a coffin.
Mrs. Cibber, Susanna.
Like a sack of apples, rotting, stinking.
Lie still now, Susanna. Try to rest.
Rotting away. In the inside.
She's delirious. I fear a few hours at most.
Fetch Mr. Arne, Mary, at once.
Which one, sir?
Both of them, girl, and quickly.
I can see you. Mary, I can see you. Take your coat. Against the rain, my dear. Follow you? How is this possible? What is this wonder? I fly. I swoop. I soar. Through the wind, the rain. There. Yes, down there. My brother's house. Tell them, Mary.
Mr. Arne.
Yes. And now, on. On to my nephew's lodgings. I hear you, Michael. I'm coming. Such beauty. Such harmony. Disturb him.
Mr. Arne.
Don't stop him playing. Mary, please.
Mr. Arne, are you there?
Just a moment, I'm coming.
No, please, I don't want to leave.
Well, what is it? You're crying, girl.
No, please, let me stay. Let me listen. Don't force me to leave. Such beauty. Such youth.
Oh, Mr. Michael, come quickly. It's Mrs. Cibber.
Susanna? What?
No, not yet. It's too soon. I haven't had time.
You must come now, sir. I fear she's dying.
Mr. Michael, I am so sorry. I'm afraid you come too late. Your father is here already, sir. My mistress, Mrs. Cibber, is through here.
Father, I came as quickly as I could.
She had already passed away when I arrived, Michael.
I'm so sorry, Father.
No doubt you are. But she and I were never close, even as children.
She was far more than an aunt to me, Father.
Well, Susanna's heart always ruled her head, whereas your mother... But no more of that. I taught her to sing, Michael. That voice, the voice that beguiled Herr Handel. But I've said my goodbye to her. No doubt you will wish to sit with her a while. I thank God that monster of a husband did not live to see her passing.
Theophilus.
I dread to think what advantage he might have tried to extract from her, even in death. This is not the time for such things. I've said too much already. I bid you a good day, sir.
So brief a visit, Father?
I have urgent matters which attend me. A composition, a new opera, rehearsals. Urgent matters. Good day, sir.
Good day, Father. I worshipped her. So unlike my famous father, with his mistresses, unacknowledged children, and his unhappy wife. Unstable, mentally disturbed, he claimed. My natural mother, nevertheless. She was so warm, so human. She was more mother to me than anybody else in the world. She smiled so easily. And now I had lost her.
I will always be with you.
I was truly alone.
Mr. Arne? Mr. Arne?
Yes?
Will you be needing anything, sir?
I will call if there's anything.
As you wish, sir.
No, wait! There is something. Has Mr. Garrick been informed?
Yes, sir. I have taken the liberty of sending a note.
Yes, that was quite correct. Good.
Thank you, sir.
Her death would be a bitter loss to him, I knew. They had been close, ever since he had first met in Dublin.
I loved him.
Not just his leading lady. His friend too? Yes, but something more.
I loved him.
Almost his soulmate.
Loved him from afar.
She had been something to Garrick that his pretty little wife could never be. I could tell.
Yes, Michael. Find her.
On the stage they had shared something. Fleeting moments, unchanging now, frozen in time. Moments never to be recreated.
Michael, you must find her.
Between them they had reached heights of passion, emotion, that those who were privileged to witness would never forget, for the rest of their lives.
Find your soulmate, Michael.
And now she was dead.
Michael. Michael. Can you hear me?
Her skin, always so pale, now like alabaster. No, more like china, translucent. Ageless. Perfect.
No one can hurt me now. Not your father. Not Theo.
But now, as I touched her face, so cool, so unyielding, all warmth draining from her, a brittle china doll, unsmiling, unaging, preserved forever in my memory, the years fell away from her.
I am smiling. Truly, I am.
I love you.
And I am young again. I will always be as you see me today. Eternally young.
You gave him the papers?
Merely a selection, my dear Cagliostro.
With nothing in exchange? This is unbelievable.
You're a taster of what is to come. Trust me.
Trust you?
Calm down, Cagliostro.
Damn you, Saint-Germain. Don't tell me to calm down. Giving away our collateral?
I gave him nothing of significance. A worm to bait the hook.
Is that how you see it?
And how would you have attracted the fool's attention?
Very well, monsieur. And how did he react?
If indeed they had been the real articles, and Isaac Newton himself had given them to me, he could not have been more convinced of their authenticity.
Ha!
Plus, I included with the papers My own personal invention. My own fabrication.
I would expect nothing less of you, Count. What intriguing little detail did you insert to make it appeal specifically to him?
The noble lord regards himself as a connoisseur of music. I included a cipher based on the notes of the musical scale. When he finds it in time, his curiosity will get the better of him, and he will be unable to resist.
And the explanation? Why in hell's name would Newton have hidden behind a musical cipher?
Who knows the workings of the mind of genius? The music of the celestial spheres, the harmony, the symphony of nature. Leave that to me.
Does everything have to be so complicated, so slow?
Subtlety is everything in these matters. I know my trade, my young friend. I've been at it a very long time, and believe me when I tell you that drink and women together have left my Lord Balmoral with a very little in the way of brains.
But much in the way of money.
We must see to it that he has.
What? You told me the man was rich, and now you say he's no money? What sort of game is this?
A man may be rich in many ways. Land, property. I merely meant that we must be sure that he will be willing to convert these forms of wealth into something more portable.
This oblique approach of yours, this constant waiting.
You would prefer to hold a knife to his throat?
At least the results would be definite. One way or another. When he eventually finds this musical cipher, can you be sure he has enough brains left to work?
When the time comes, I have arranged for Balmoral to have some assistance. Someone who will interpret.
An outsider? Can he be trusted?
Oh, undoubtedly. His motives bear no resemblance to our own. He merely wishes to be revenged.
Revenged? On whom? Balmoral?
Oh, on his father. Who denies his legitimacy?
And who is this vengeful bastard?
You will meet him soon enough. In the meantime, his brother...
Yet another?
The legitimate son, a talented musician, and totally unaware of our existence, will break the cipher, and so convince the noble lord that the papers are Newton's original findings.
He has a name, this musician?
Arm. Michael Arm.
Michael, come in, why don't you?
Mr. Garrick.
I'm sorry I didn't find an opportunity to speak to you at the funeral. It was a difficult time.
Yes, I understand.
Your aunt was very dear, very precious to me. So rare that one finds someone so at one. I miss her terribly. And as for the theatre, well...
Yes.
It's so hard, so hard to go on, to perform with someone less... with someone else.
I understand, sir. I appreciate how difficult it must be for you without her. It is hard for all of us. She taught me to sing. My first role. I was 10 years old.
We both owe her a great deal. I first heard her that day in Dublin when she sang in Mr. Handel's Messiah. She moved not just me, but everyone there that day. And over the years, she touched many other people's lives, not just yours and mine. But we must live in the present. It is because we both shared her that I ask you to come here today.
Sir?
An opportunity for you. That is, of course, if you wish to accept the commission.
A commission? For me? Well, as you know, sir, a musician's life is an uncertain one.
Then let me make it less uncertain for a while at least. I have in mind to write a new piece, an opera based on Dryden's poem Simon and Iphigenia. I would like you to write the music for it.
It would be a great honour, sir. Thank you.
Good, good. Then it's settled. I'm sure that dear Susanna would be pleased to think of the two of us working together. And that, if I'm not mistaken, is our future leading lady. Come in! Oh, yes, Elizabeth, come in. I wish you to meet Mr. Michael Arne, the composer of the new work I told you about. Michael, this is Miss Elizabeth Wright.
Mr. Arne, a pleasure.
The pleasure is all mine, Miss Wright.
I don't know whether you've had time to read Mr. Dryden's poem, Elizabeth.
Her skin was perfect, unblemished. Her smile so radiant. Her voice pitched so beautifully, so naturally. Her features delicate, precise, smooth. But it was the texture, the perfection of her skin that I fell in love with.
I send her to you, Michael.
There, in that moment, I knew I loved her with all my heart. And that there could never be any other for me.
I send her to you. Your soulmate. Forever young. Forever beautiful.
He will be here. Have patience.
Patience? It's been months. I've waited long enough.
You Sicilians, the essence of the game's trust. My dear Cagliostro, would you give away your money to someone you had just met? Of course not. Then be patient, just a little longer. The results will more than justify the waiting.
What have you told him?
That we intend to deprive our friend Balmoral of much, if not all, of his wealth.
Then he's already a threat to us.
I think not, my dear Count. We have done nothing wrong. We have merely cultivated the friendship of a rich man with similar interests to our own. I do not believe this is a crime, even here, in this godforsaken country. But as for Mr. Charles Arne, he treads his own path. At present, I believe we walk side by side.
Then, like you, Saint-Germain, I do not have infinite resources. I cannot afford this cozy stroll anymore.
Enough. He's here.
Gentlemen, excuse my delay. It is a happy day. I was attending my dear brother's wedding.
My dear fellow, you received an invitation?
Indeed not. But I went in any case. Firstly, to embarrass and infuriate my father. And secondly, to see what sort of beauty my brother Michael had won for himself.
Well, may I introduce Count Alessandro di Cagliostro, Mr. Charles Arne.
Count? May I ask, is that a recent title?
What do you mean?
I seem to remember hearing that your real name is Giuseppe Balsamo, and that you were involved in some scandalous fraud at the French court. Yes, that's it. It involved the Queen. I remember Marie Antoinette and a diamond necklace.
You have been misinformed, sir. I've never been at the French court.
In that case, accept my humble apologies, Count Alessandro. Coffee house gossip, no doubt. But I should have to tell you, gentlemen, that I have no secrets with which I should wish to keep hidden. I am who I am, the eldest son of Dr. Thomas Arne, the celebrated composer and musician. I regret that he does not recognize me as his legitimate son, and for that, I intend him to suffer.
And how do you think we can assist you in this?
Your new friend, the Lord Balmoral, is my father's most significant patron, and therefore any reduction, shall we say, in his wealth will have a direct effect on my father's circumstances. If, in addition, any adverse financial impact on Balmoral could be traced directly or indirectly to my father, then the effect on him will be agreeably disastrous. That is why I am here, gentlemen. Who you really are, and what you intend, are of no interest to me. Allow me to get us some refreshment, if you will excuse me.
Side by side, Cagliostro.
But not, I think, hand in hand.
A I still don't understand it. Surely there are still large sections of the documents missing. I will need to examine the rest of the papers.
All in good time, monsieur. The man who holds the rest of the work is somewhat shy about letting them out of his possession.
Is he expecting to be paid for every single page?
No, my lord, but he is anxious that Newton's entire collection should go to the right person.
The right person? What the devil does that mean? The right person? I am the right person.
He is concerned that when the secret that Sir Isaac discovered is turned into practicality, that he should receive his rightful share of the profits.
I don't understand. He has the papers. He has the secret. Why doesn't he just create the thing himself?
Unlike yourself, my lord, he has no resources to devote to the actual practical work. It will require a special laboratory, furnaces, raw materials, and no doubt many months of work to convert Newton's discovery into a practical solution. Therefore, he needs to be sure that the right person is found, the one who will follow the work through to its ultimate and inevitable conclusion.
What does the damned fellow want to convince him that I am that man?
I suspect that he requires some tangible evidence of your commitment.
And what evidence am I supposed to provide to convince this damned skeptic of my intent?
I concede it is difficult. He cannot, for obvious reasons, admit to having the papers. Therefore, he must operate in secret. There can be no public awareness of the discovery. Newton himself realized the consequences. The economic disruption, the devaluation of the king's coinage, and so on. And therefore, he withheld all knowledge of his work. Even in death, he sought to prevent his discovery from becoming public. It was only through the actions of this man, his servant, that the papers were fortuitously saved from the fire.
Yes, 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 I understand all the secrecy. But what does the damned fellow want?
I will try, my lord, to find out.
It can't just be money, for God's sake. Money can have no relevance to this.
No, of course not, my lord.
When we reproduce Newton's results, we'll have more money than the king himself. Doesn't the damn fool realize that?
I'm sure he does, my lord. I'm sure he does.
Damn. Who is it? Very well, very well. I'm coming. Charles.
Good evening, brother. Is our father here?
No, he hardly ever visits. And especially at this time of night.
Well, that is a shame. I would so enjoy seeing the smouldering hatred in his eyes. Never mind, it was you I came to see.
Me?
Michael, I... Oh.
And of course, your delightful new wife.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you had company.
Well, Michael, aren't you going to introduce me?
Of course. Elizabeth, this is Charles.
Charles Arne, my dear.
Charles, this is my wife, Elizabeth.
Arne? Then we are related. Then how is it that we haven't met before?
I am Michael's eldest brother.
I didn't know Michael had.
Yes, an elder brother. Our father does not acknowledge me as his legitimate son. But I know I am his firstborn, and despite the fact that my father will continue to deny it until his dying day, my brother Michael here has always had the good grace to accept me for who I am. And therefore, even though I may be persona non grata in my own father's house, I hope that we may be able to be on more sociable terms.
Of course.
A pleasure to meet you, my dear. I see my brother's tastes have improved considerably with age.
Charles,
Please excuse me, Mr. Arne.
Oh, do call me Charles, my dear. I am your brother-in-law, after all. Delightful.
What do you want, Charles? Apart from making inappropriate remarks to my wife.
Really, Michael, what harm is there in admiring your taste? You should be flattered. She really is charming. And so young.
I don't need your approval of my taste.
But you do need my help, little brother.
Hardly.
A new wife, these new lodgings, the expense of the wedding. Unless you have suddenly discovered how to change lead into gold, you must be, how shall I put this, financially embarrassed at the moment. Or has dear father paid for all of this?
You know damn well that he would never offer to pay for anything. My grandfather taught him well.
Our grandfather? But let it pass.
What do you want, Charles? It is late, and I have a pressing commission.
For your sake, I am very glad to hear it. But I have come with the offer of some rather more unusual work for you.
Unusual?
In the sense of highly secret.
Secret?
For goodness sake, stop repeating everything I say and listen. I have a friend, shall we say, who requires a solution to a puzzle. A cipher, to be precise.
A cipher?
Listen. A cipher written in musical notation. Despite being a music lover, he is no musician. He therefore wishes to find someone discreet, to translate the cipher for him. Naturally, he would be willing to pay.
How much?
As I thought. Wives, in common with other sorts of women, though no doubt bestowing extraordinary pleasures, can be expensive commodities. I guess that her salary for Mr. Garrick does little to cover her true expenses.
How do you know?
We are family. I make it my business to know.
Will your contact be able to do it?
He has already completed the work. To say he found it straightforward would be to understate the matter.
It was a well-known cipher from an old book I read. I cannot say I'm surprised it took so little effort on his part.
Then you no doubt paid him appropriately for his little effort.
I gave him the whole sum.
What?
I have no need of Balmoral's money. My only interest is revenge.
Be careful when you seek revenge, Mr. Arne. It can be proved to be a two-edged sword.
Well then, as you have completed your task, it seems we have no further use for you, Mr. Arne.
When I said I had no need for Balmoral's money, I did not say I would not accept as much of it as he might wish to bestow upon me.
Man after my own heart.
You will continue to find me useful, gentlemen, I promise you. I have other sorts of friends, some in very low places. Places where aristocrats such as yourselves would not find a ready welcome, except for the money in your purses.
Do not underestimate us, Mr. Ryan. In our business, it is sometimes necessary to protect our interests in more direct ways.
Put the knife away, Cagliostro. I think Mr. Arne understands. My dear Charles, please sit down. I'm sure that your services will be most useful to us, especially in the next stage of our plan. I take it that Lord Balmoral does not know you.
My name never passes my father's lips. He could not know of me from that source.
And you and he have never met?
I regret to say that I do not move in such exalted circles.
Good. Then you will be perfectly cast as the shy, reticent guardian of Newton's lost papers. Tell me, what do you know of alchemy?
Mr. Garrick! Mr. Garrick! Wasn't she wonderful?
Indeed, yes, another highly successful performance. It seems that both of us have the perfect leading lady.
Mr. Garrick!
See how she bows her head in mock modesty, Michael.
Perfect.
Indeed, it is not mock modesty, Mr. Garrick.
Nor should it be, my dear. You were wonderful. Doesn't she look beautiful in the candlelight, Michael? Michael, what's the matter? I said, doesn't her skin look beautiful in the candlelight?
Yes, beautiful. It's just that...
Michael?
There, next to your eye.
What, Michael?
A line, a mark, a shadow.
A shadow? Ah, indeed, yes, a laughter line. How utterly enchanting, my dear.
A line, a mark, an imperfection.
Well, let us hope there'll be many more of them in your lives.
I'm sure there will, Mr. Garrick, especially as we are to have a child.
Her skin, always so pale, now like alabaster. No, more like china, translucent, ageless.
I will always be as you see me today.
Her skin, ageless.
Eternally.
Are you telling me that these papers are genuine?
Yes, the papers are genuine. They are Newton's notes on his experiments in alchemy.
You told me they were destroyed in a fire at his laboratory.
So it was believed.
But you discovered them?
Yes.
Who had them?
You don't need to know.
Suffice to say that he has no further use for them.
If the papers are genuine...
They are, but sadly, they do not describe any great discovery. It is clear that Newton did not find the Philosopher's Stone. Neither did he discover the Elixir of Life.
But your version of the papers suggests...
They do indeed suggest that Newton had discovered a method of transforming base metals to a higher form.
Lead to gold.
As you say, lead to gold.
And the Elixir of Life?
A byproduct of the process used to create the Philosopher's Stone.
And in reality?
Have you ever met anyone who claimed that they would live forever?
Only the Count of Saint-Germain here.
And I shall live forever, my dear friends, in myth and legend, in fame and glory, in spirit, but sadly, not in body.
And Balmoral?
Is now extremely anxious to get on with the business of confirming Newton's discoveries.
I think it is time his lordship met the mysterious servant who has done the world such a great service by preserving Newton's greatest work from the flames.
Father, good day.
I hardly recognise you in that new suit of clothes.
They are very fine, are they not?
I take it from your splendid appearance that your compositions are proving popular.
An unexpected commission, sir.
And obviously a lucrative one. A welcome gift at this time, I dare say. How is the child? Jemima, was it not?
She is well, Father.
And her mother?
Elizabeth is well. But looking somewhat tired, haggard.
Well, that is the fate of those blessed with children, Michael. Wait till she has had more of them, sir. Then that bloom of youth you found so alluring in her will be long gone. If only...
If only?
Balmoral was telling me only yesterday that he intends to live forever.
Lord Balmoral?
To be eternally young. He's taken up the study of alchemy. I wish him well with it. And you, sir, my regards to your wife.
Well, this is an unexpected pleasure, brother. It is so rarely that you seek me out.
Charles, that cipher.
Yes?
The contents.
For which I paid you.
Yes.
Handsome.
Yes, yes.
Well, what then?
I'm not a fool. I recognize what I was deciphering. It was alchemy. I know it.
Yes, but what of it?
The fee.
Was eminently satisfactory, was it not?
More than satisfactory. But where did it come from? You don't have money like that.
It has taken you all this time to wonder that.
No, of course not. It's just that...
What?
It's Lord Balmoral, isn't it?
How could you possibly know that?
Never mind how. It's just that I need... I must have...
Name it, dear boy, and I will see what I can do.
If Balmoral has become interested in alchemy, then there's something I believe you can get for me.
Lord Balmoral is not interested in alchemy.
Oh.
He is obsessed to the point of distraction. And I will, of course, be more than delighted to help you with anything you think I may be able to do. But why do you believe that
I can pay!
Really? Then I'm sure my associates would be delighted to be of assistance to you, my dear brother.
Who is it?
Don't be alarmed.
Darn, what are you doing here?
Is he here?
Balmoral? No. He and Saint-Germain are up at the house discussing some obscure references in the documents. Do you think we may have missed something important?
And have you?
Of course not. The Count and I have worked in the field of alchemy for many years, each in our separate way. There's nothing that Balmoral could find. No document, no reference. No manuscript that the Count and I have not read, or forged, or entirely invented ourselves. It's not possible to convert lead to gold. The Philosopher's Stone is merely a myth, an illusion.
And the Elixir of Life?
The same. A circular philosophical argument. Think of it. One could live forever. And from the smallest investment, with interest, one could have eventually all the riches in the world. One had all the riches in the world, and one could pay for the best doctors, the best medicines. Then, perhaps one could live forever.
So there is nothing.
The only belief. If you believe enough, perhaps. Perhaps it will prove to be true. That is what we do. Germain and I help those who seek to become believers, help them along the path.
The path.
The long and tortuous path to the truth. Eventually, all men find it. And then, our time is over. We must seek out others to guide along the way to knowledge and truth.
No matter how long and difficult. No matter how expensive.
The journey is its own reward.
The elixir of life?
Here, in this flask.
Is this it?
If you believe... It is.
Is the baby asleep?
Oh, at last.
You look tired, my darling.
Tired? If you had slept 2 hours in the last 2 days, then...
Of course. I understand.
I feel so old, so worn out.
Perhaps a tonic. A tonic to revive your spirits.
If you have such a thing.
I have the very thing. A special concoction. I have it on the highest authority, no less a personage than Lord Balmoral, that this tonic will restore youthful vigour and keep you looking and feeling young forever. Here.
Oh, it smells even worse than it looks.
As with all medicines, my dearest, the most efficacious are the ones that are the least pleasing to the taste. I'm sure it will do you good.
Will you not join me, Michael?
There is only a small amount. Enough for one person. Your need is greater than mine, my love. To have her as I first saw her. Unblemished. Unmarked. Without the lines of years, the ravages of time and the world. Clean. Pure. And unstained as a fresh new page of manuscript. Forever young. I would give everything. What do you mean there is no more? I tell you, I must have some.
There is no more. They have moved on to the next stage of the process. There will be no more.
I'll pay. I have some money put aside. Anything.
There is no more of the elixir. No amount of money will make it any different. I'm sorry, Michael.
I'll go to Balmoral.
It will do you no good. He is not interested in the elixir. It's the Philosopher's Stone he wants.
But Elizabeth needs it. She was so ill, and now I can see an improvement. It is only a matter of time before she is back the way she was. The baby is wearing her down. But now she talks, she laughs, she's almost herself again. I must have more.
Are you sure, Michael?
Charles, I beg you.
There is one way, Michael.
Tell me.
Are you quite sure?
I believe her life may depend on it.
If it is that important to you, well, then you must make it yourself.
Myself? But I know nothing of alchemy.
I can show you. I watched them. I studied what they did, but...
But what? Tell me!
I must get hold of the documents.
What documents?
The documents that describe the method, the process, the materials. It will not be easy. The man who has them is difficult, reluctant to disclose what he knows.
Can you get them for me?
Perhaps. Perhaps there is a way. But it will require time, money, a laboratory, a furnace.
Anything, anything to save her life. To have her as she was.
This friend, he believes you?
Implicitly.
Then you have already climbed half the mountain.
What else have you told him you'll need?
A copy of the original papers, the specifications for the furnace, the other apparatus.
And you wish us to supply these details?
Yes. It would be in your interests.
In our interests?
Certainly.
For a small fee, of course.
I know a great deal, gentlemen, of your transactions here, your intentions.
When we say a small fee...
A great deal.
But in your case, as a friend, a nominal amount would be satisfactory.
How generous and sensible. Then we are agreed.
Agreed.
Count Alessandro?
Take care, Mr. Arne. The streets are dangerous, full of cutthroats and thieves. We would not wish you to come to any harm.
I have deposited a letter with a trusted friend. It is to be delivered to Lord Balmoral if anything untoward should happen to me. It is a very detailed, very comprehensive letter, gentlemen.
Then I think we are agreed. N'est-ce pas, Cagliostro?
Did you get them? The papers?
Yes, but I had to pay.
Of course.
A great deal of money.
I'll get it, I promise you.
I have also found the man who will supply the furnace and the other equipment that we need.
Charles, what would I do without you?
Indeed, what would you do without me?
How much longer? How much longer?
Patience, brother. The instructions in these papers are complex, sometimes contradictory. Pass me that flask.
How long, Charles? How long?
Soon, soon. And the jar. No, not that one. The one containing the mercury.
Elizabeth! Elizabeth, I have it! The tonic!
You do?
At last, after all these weeks, at last we have succeeded. Here, a glass.
Thank you, my dear.
Is it...
as unpleasant as before? Yes, but if it makes me stronger.
And your skin?
My skin?
It will revive that glow, that aura.
Aura?
That I love so much, and that perfection of touch, that clarity of tone.
Michael, what are you saying? You sound so strange.
Do I? No, no. If I do, it's only because I love you so, my darling.
Michael, dearest.
Here, another glass, my love.
Gentlemen, how goes your venture?
You've not heard.
Heard? Heard what?
Our dear friend, our mutual friend, Lord Balmoral, is dead.
What?
Dead. And with him, I am desolated to say, our source of income.
As one alchemist to another, you have my sympathy, gentlemen.
And you, ours.
Your sympathy?
Your dreams of revenge against your father seem also to have died.
There will be other ways. How did he die?
A man may aspire to live forever, but not with a sword through his chest.
A duel.
Nothing so honourable, my dear sir, a highwayman.
Despite our very best endeavours, he obviously learned nothing of the art of prudence. It was not the end we had planned for him.
No?
No. A rather more dignified end. A sudden illness, a sad lingering decline, giving him the time to put his affairs in order and to leave the bulk of his estate, and in particular his papers, his equipment, and the various other materials used in his researches, to his close and devoted friends, the Count Alessandro de Cagliostro and the Count de Saint-Germain.
And this illness?
Unavoidable to those who make the study of alchemy their life's work. The elixir of life, taken in moderation, can be efficacious, but if taken in too great a quantity...
Sad, but inevitable.
The elixir? But I thought it was harmless.
In small quantities. The amount we supplied you would have no noticeable ill effects.
But a larger quantity, taken more frequently.
You didn't tell me.
The study of alchemy is a lifetime's work. You cannot hope to learn everything in so short a time. The effect of the elixir is well known to serious students.
You deliberately didn't tell
me. Mr. Arne, please. You surely cannot think that we would withhold such information.
Let us hope that your friend, who has invested so much in your knowledge and expertise, never finds out.
And that it is not too late to prevent the effects of the elixir on his dear wife becoming irreversible.
You know?
We make it our business to know.
Almighty God, our sister Elizabeth, and we commit her body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The Lord bless her and keep her. The Lord make his face to shine upon her and be gracious unto her and give her peace.
Why?
Michael.
What could I have done?
There's nothing more that you could have done.
If only I had been able to make more of the elixir.
There was nothing anyone could have done. Oh, no.
What is it?
Not here, not now.
Mr. Michael Arne, I have you a warrant for your arrest and detention for non-payment of outstanding debts.
What now? Can't you see the man is burying his wife?
Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but the gentleman comes with me.
This is inhuman.
Come along, sir.
No. Inhuman.
This way, sir.
Burying his wife.
Warrant.
Our sister, Elizabeth.
Arrest.
Body to the ground.
welcome to the Bridewell, Mr. Arne.
Not here.
Detention.
Not now.
Michael.
Patience, brother.
There are other ways, Mr. Arne.
Her skin.
Complex. Contradictory.
That perfection of touch.
Ashes to ashes.
Clarity of tone.
I have found the man.
Michael.
A great deal of money.
What would I do without you?
Michael. Michael.
Elizabeth.
Michael?
Elizabeth?
Michael? Michael, it's me, Anne. Anne Venables.
Anne? Oh, of course.
My lesson?
Anne, my dear, yes. Yes, of course. Is that the time already? Oh, I'm sorry, I must have dozed off. I'm dreaming. My wife, Elizabeth, still haunts my dreams. Even after all this time.
Asleep! Have you been overdoing things, Michael?
Charles, whatever are you doing here?
Oh, it was my pleasure. No, my delight to meet Miss Venables on the street. So I accompanied her here.
Charles, really?
I mean every word. And believe me when I say that if I could teach you to sing as well as he does, I would not let you near my brother. But you are looking tired, Michael.
Well, if we could make a start. Do you intend to sit there and listen, Charles? I think Miss Venables would prefer it if you left us to our lesson.
If you insist, brother. It's just that I find Miss Venables' beauty so enchanting that I...
Really, Charles, if you could find another time for your flirtatious comments.
I intended no disrespect, Anna, Miss Venables. I meant I find the beauty of your voice so enchanting.
Why, thank you, sir.
And I nearly forgot. I have a letter for you.
For me? Then leave it on the table on your way out, would you?
I suggest you open it now.
Now? Oh, really?
Oh, do open it, Michael.
Oh, very well. If it would let us get on with our practice. What?
Well, are you glad I made you open the letter?
What is it?
Look, I can hardly believe it. It is an invitation to conduct the first performance in Germany of the late Mr. Handel's oratorio, Messiah, in Hamburg.
Do I ever bring anything other than joy into your life, Michael?
It seems not, Charles.
Oh, this is wonderful news, Michael. Such an honour, and in the country of Mr. Handel's birth.
Indeed. And what is more, I am to select my own soloists. The only question seems to be which ones I should choose.
Michael?
Oh, don't tease the girl, Michael.
Well, if you wish to be on my list, young lady, I suggest that you concentrate on your lessons. Good day to you, Charles. Her skin. How did I not notice her skin? So perfect. So flawless. Don't forget to kiss Uncle Charles goodnight, Jemima.
Sweet dreams, my pet. And now, Michael, what is this news that you could not wait until tomorrow to tell me?
I've decided to remarry. I wanted you to be the first to know.
Well, this is a surprise. You have not told Father?
Not yet.
Then I am honoured you should choose to tell me first. And who is the lucky young lady?
Anne.
Anne Venables.
Anne!
You look shocked, Charles. Surely you could see it. The affection between us. After this tour of Germany, the triumphs we shared, Hamburg, it has brought us so close, Charles. It was inevitable. It was meant to be.
She is so young.
And beautiful. And talented. Yes, yes, and sings like an angel.
Yes, of course. How could I have thought otherwise?
I am pleased you approve.
Approve? That is hardly the word. I have always thought her the most adorable, most desirable of creatures.
There you go again, Charles. Exaggeration. Hyperbole. It's a good thing she isn't here to listen to your inflated comments. You might succeed in swaying her against me. And there is even more good news to tell you.
More? What could surpass the thought of marrying the girl you love?
After the wedding, we will travel to Dublin. I've been asked to put on a production of Garrick Simon there, at the Smock Alley Theatre.
Dublin!
I truly believe that Aunt Susanna is looking over us. First the Messiah, which she made her own, and now Dublin, where she gave that first performance and met Garrick.
Is this wise, Michael?
What? Going to Dublin?
Marrying again, so soon.
It will have been 4 years, Charles. And besides myself, I must think of my daughter.
Except that both of us know the way you felt about Elizabeth.
I know.
The strength of those feelings, the passion, the obsession. Has there been sufficient time for you to recover from that awful time?
I love her, Charles. I will marry her. Darling, you were a triumph. The audience loved you. All of Ireland loves you.
Thank you, Michael.
The whole thing went very well.
Michael? Michael, are you all right? Michael, say something. Can somebody help? He's collapsed. Is there a doctor? Please, somebody help me.
He'll be fine, Mrs. Arne. Just a case of working too hard, I'd say. His heart sounds strong and his eye is clear. Obviously not a man who abuses his body, as so many do these days, with the drink and the tobacco. I'd say you were in the best place for him here by the sea. Our Dublin Bay air is most bracing, you know. He's but a slip of a lad yet. Not compared with yourself, of course, but compared with an old duffer like myself. Now, you make sure he rests himself, and I'll be back in a couple of days to see how you're getting along. Mr. Arne, Mrs. Arne, good day to you.
You heard what the doctor said, Michael. You must rest.
Rest? Rest? I'm fine, I tell you.
A slip of a lad, he said?
Ha! But not compared with yourself, of course. Oh, Anne, is that it? Am I getting old?
Nonsense, Michael.
Look at my hands. These marks, look. Put your hand next to mine. See? See your skin so clear, so pure, and mine, wrinkled, marked, worn.
Michael, you're being silly. I expect my skin will look like yours in a few years.
No, it can't.
What?
It mustn't. I won't let it.
Whatever do you mean, Michael?
I just meant that you mustn't think about growing older.
But I can't stay as I am. No one can. You must calm yourself and rest. That was what the doctor said. Getting excited about nothing won't get you back on your feet.
Rest. Very well. Anne, just one thing before I do. Could you fetch me some paper and a pen? I need to write a letter. To Charles. Charles! Charles, thank you for coming.
My dear fellow, when I got your letter telling me that you were ill...
Oh, it was nothing. Just working too hard. Not eating regularly. Everything just got too much for me.
I came just as soon as I could.
Do you have the papers?
Yes, here in this case.
Not here. Put them away. Keep them hidden. No one must know. Least of all, Anne.
Why not?
This is between you and me, Charles. No one else. Not a word. You swear?
Of course.
There's no time now. The performance will start shortly. But I'll tell you as much as I can before I have to go on. It was my collapse that did it. Made me realise that I'm getting older, Charles.
Well, everyone does, my dear boy.
Not me, Charles. Not me. It's the skin, do you see? The skin.
Your skin? I'm not sure.
If your skin doesn't change, then neither do you. You don't grow old. You stay the same. Do you see? Do you see?
No.
My skin. It's getting older. I must stop it. You must see that. It happened before. To her. To Elizabeth. She changed. There were marks. Imperfections. Where there'd been none. Lines where before skin had been clear. Perfect. And we could have cured her, Charles. You and I, we could. We were so near. It was just that we didn't find the answer until it was too late.
The answer?
The elixir. If we'd started making it ourselves sooner, we would have saved her.
And this time?
If we make some more elixir, then we can save me.
You?
We can do it. It's not too late. Collapsing like that was a warning, telling me what I must do so that I'd never grow old. So that I can be with her, with Anne.
You want the elixir?
So she won't grow appalled, disgusted with me, with my skin, aging, wrinkling, marked, coarse. Look at it. I can see it changing now, even as I look.
You want the elixir for yourself?
Help me, Charles. You will help me, won't you? I have dreams. I can't bear the dreams.
Dreams?
I see her skin. Anne's skin. Is it hers? Or is it Elizabeth? It was white. Pure. Taut. And then my hand, my nails tearing into it, leaving a trail of blood. 5 red lines bleeding across her pure white face.
Michael,
like the lines of the stave across the pure white paper. And then my hand and the pen defiling the paper. Black scratching blots, imperfections smearing.
Michael!
More mercury. That was the mistake we made. We should have used more mercury. We could have increased the yield by using more mercury. I won't make the same mistake this time. Help me, Charles. Help me. Father never appreciated you all these years, but I swear you've been the best brother a man can have. Help me, Charles. Help me to live forever.
Are you sure, Michael?
For me, Charles. And for Anne. Yes. For Anne, too. She'd be so pleased. So grateful.
I'm your only brother, Michael. Of course I will do it. For you. And for Anne. Dear Anne. I so look forward to seeing her again. Such perfect skin.
That was Skin by Nigel Holloway. The cast was as follows. Michael Arne was played by Steve Davis, Charles Arne by Kevin Welsh, the Count de Saint-Germain was played by Michael Gacken, the Count Alessandro di Cagliostro was played by Kevin Morgan, Lord Balmoral was Howard Turnbull, and David Garrick was Tim Brown. Thomas Arne was played by Nick Pratt, the Doctor was played by Roger Thomas, Elizabeth Wright was Kira Charnley. Susanna Sibber was played by Ellie Hoare. Anne Venables was Lorna Welsh. Skin was a Concept Players presentation for Caddisher Productions.